Alan Moore, you wrote my favorite issues of Radioactive Man.
Oh, really? So you'd like that I made your favorite superhero a heroin-addicted jazz critic who's not radioactive?
I don't read the words. I just like when he punches people. How do you make his costume stick so close to his muscles? Mr. Moore, will you sign my DVD of Watchmen Babies? Which of the babies is your favorite?
You see what those bloody corporations do? They take your ideas and they suck them. Suck them like leeches until they've gotten every last drop of the marrow from your bones.
Hey, Teacup, why don't you chill out?
Very well. Oh, little Lulu, I love you, Lou, just the same. Ah.
Welcome back to the Action Room. I'm Tony Wolf, and we're a podcast about geek and pop culture.
So are you Scrooge McDuck? Is that
That's right! Scrooge McDuck here! Do you think Scrooge McDuck was where Michael Myers got his inspiration for the Scottish character, Fat Bastard?
DuckTales is one of my favorite cartoons. I love that
DuckTales
cartoon.
Is awesome. Anyway, just to make it abundantly clear, it was me welcoming you to the Action Room, doing a Scottish accent, because later on in the episode, this episode, we have Grant Morrison's documentary filmmakers. We interview them live in the brand new refurbished Action Room Studio, and I'm Tony Wolf.
You got it.
And producer Mike. And just to not to get into a huge introduction, but Grant Morrison.
Oh, we won't.
Grant Morrison is a big comic book writer for people who don't know that.
Yes, he's a very well established.
He's about to hit the mainstream.
And kind of world renowned comic book writer. Time Magazine, Entertainment Weekly, they've hailed him as one of the true geniuses of comic books. Mm. So we're very excited about that. Of course, we'll always ask you to join our Facebook page, comment on our Facebook fan page, and follow us on Twitter. You can be added to the growing legions of followers we have.
Now, it was really interesting because last week, when Geek Goddess wasn't here, you missed a wonderful week.
You missed Mike and I talking to each other in a room.
I heard it. It was fabulous.
You saved
me.
From Donkey Kong.
From Donkey Kong.
I was going to say.
And your 9X boyfriend.
The firing tentacle is what I was going to say.
That sounds perverted.
Always. What's
Wait,
on my
what?
Mind? The fire-breathing tentacle. That's what I was going to say.
Is there a fire-breathing tentacle in Donkey Kong or another game?
No, just in my head.
In the video game in Geek Goddess's head. We just want to catch you up, Action Room listeners.
Unbelievable.
All right.
Well,
so
what I was
gonna
say,
were you going somewhere with that?
Last week, or last episode, I should say, you talked about, you know, some problem you had with the Scott Pilgrim trailer that you saw. And you
I had a little critique.
I'm going to write Edgar Wright. And we actually did, and he actually wrote us back. I mean, this is a weird world we live in at this
point. He actually wrote back to me, if you're familiar with Twitter, Action Room listeners, he wrote back to me in a private message on Twitter. It was interesting. I was like, it's interesting that he wrote not for other people's eyes, but for just my eyes.
But the tweet was basically you asking him, you know, you were concerned that Michael Cera looks wimpy in the
trailer. His dialogue was delivered in a wimpy voice.
Right.
That was not that he looks wimpy, but they said everything like this.
But Edgar Wright said.
Yeah. He said, I hear you. He said, but he's a geek, and when you are a geek, you have to try harder and work harder to kick ass, and you have to kick ass harder as a result. And then he threw in a little funny thing. He said, it's not like Scott Pilgrim is Jason Statham.
Right, that's
the point, you know. And maybe, like I said, maybe it's the character arc for him, that he starts out wimpy, and by the end, he's a badass.
And then
so that was very cool. Also,
it was awesome.
Carson Daly twittered back to us.
I had a question because on his show, I've been watching it, and I noticed he was using this Canon 5D camera, which is just, you know, it's a certain kind of camera that looks really, really awesome.
It's an amazing, groundbreaking.
But it's a still camera, but they shoot video on it.
Wow.
Anyway, I noticed that, and we tweeted him, and he tweeted us back saying, good eye.
He said, good eye. That's all, producer Mike. I don't know about the XKE 579 camera. You did teach me about the red camera several years ago.
And supposedly it's better than the red camera. So,
wow.
It looks different. It looks, when you watch it, it's like so differently.
Because it blurs out the back and very clear in the front. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
wow.
I like it.
Okay. Also, Jimmy Palmiotti, famed comic writer and artist, we tweeted to him because his book Power Girl, which I really think is one of the best, most fun comics on the market right now, the last issue, number 10, the most recent issue, that is, was just so wonderful that I had to give him some love, and I said, this is so great. And he wrote back, he said, hey, thanks for the Power Girl love. Sadly, the wonderful artist on Power Girl is about to go off the book, and they're going to get a new creative team, Amanda Connor, who's such a fantastic artist.
And what's great about Tony is even if he doesn't like it, he'll say he does. So that's good.
No, I really genuinely like this. So we're going to take a break, and after the break, we'll talk with Patrick Meany and Amber Yoder, and after that, we'll have the nerd news. So keep on listening, Action Fans. We'll be right back. All right, Action Fans, we are back in the Action Room, and as we said before, I'm very excited to have our very special guests here tonight. Patrick Meany, the director of a documentary about Grant Morrison, and Amber Yoder, the producer of that same documentary. For those of you Action Fans who aren't familiar with Grant Morrison, let me just tell you a few things. Grant Morrison, he is a comics writing rock star. He has risen to fame and fortune through his imaginative and innovative comics, like, there's so many of them, The Invisibles, Animal Man, Sea Guy, The Filth, We Three. He's also written mainstream superheroes, including the X-Men, Justice League, Batman, and Superman. He is really a mystical, spiritual persona, and this guy's work is infused with everything from Buddhism to punk rock. I truly believe, I'm going on the record, Tony Wolfe says, he is the next big writer to break through to the mainstream, following in the steps of people like Frank Miller, Neil Gaiman, and Alan Moore, who have since become household names. Grant Morrison is a wonderfully mad, Scottish counterculture visionary, and our guest today, Patrick Meany, the director and producer Amber Yoder, very talented and experienced creators in their own right, they're doing the first ever feature documentary about Grant Morrison. So welcome, Patrick and Amber. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Do the applause.
Very excited. Is this the first time we've had a double guest in version 3.0 of the Action Room?
Yeah, no, this will be a challenge because we have one mic for
right.
two.
Five people total in the Action Room studio. All right, so first off, I guess this each of you can sort of answer this in succession. What inspired you to want to do a documentary about Grant Morrison?
Well, I read The Invisibles when I was in high school, and it was a huge influence. It was like, the thing about The Invisibles is that it's a book that's very much designed to like engage the reader and kind of like change the reader, and it did that for me. So I followed all his other work after that, and I'd always been really interested by like the intersections with his life and his work. I'd heard stories like he became sick while writing The Invisibles when the character in the series who was an analog to himself became sick. And also he had wacky experiences like getting abducted by aliens, as he termed it, back in the 90s.
And actually he wrote the character well, and he became better in real life.
Exactly. So he took this character who was an avatar for him and used him to do things in the real world in his own life. So this was always interesting, and I'd read interviews with him that were also really interesting, and I was like, I'd love to see, you know, more in-depth something about him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we came to... I wrote a book about The Invisibles... and through the publisher, we were in touch with Grant. He agreed to interview with us, and I was like, why don't we film this interview? And then I was like, well, if we're going to film it, why don't we make a whole documentary? So we pitched him on it, and he agreed, and then it happened.
Excellent, excellent. And what about you, Amber? How did you come into this project?
Well, I have been working with Patrick for a few years on various projects, and he came to me with this project, you know, told me about his book and how he had pitched it, and it got picked up. And personally, I had never picked up a comic book before in my entire life until, like, April of last year.
All right.
Awesome. And
you're converted.
Yeah. Patrick started feeding me books, and I found it really interesting, and I thought it would be an interesting challenge to try and look at this this guy who has such a legend built up around him within the comics community, but, you know, like you were saying, he's possibly going to break through to the mainstream, but he hasn't quite yet. I had never heard of him before,
right. So
I kind of feel like by providing that insight of someone who doesn't know anything about him, kind of could hopefully direct the documentary in a way that could make it appealing to a broader audience.
Right, because you bring that outside perspective.
Yeah. Well, I feel like not so much anymore, because now I've read like most of his books, right, and I know all the stories, and so now I'm kind of an insider again, but hopefully at the beginning it was a little helpful.
Do you really like his stuff? Like, do you?
Yeah, yeah, I love Animal Man. It was my favorite. Yeah, that was the one that really was just like, all right, I'm sold on Grant Morrison.
Was that early in your feeding process, as
I think
you mentioned?
So. Patrick gave me The Invisibles first off, and I feel like at this point now I have to go back and reread it, because it's being the first comic book I ever read.
It is really one of those things that I reread it about once a year or once every 2 years. Just it sort of infuses you with a new, you know, you see different things each time you read it.
Yeah.
So you just got back from several weeks in the UK, Ireland, and Scotland.
Wow. So
in the course of making this documentary, what are some interesting stories that have come up during the shoot in the UK and overseas that you just came back from? I know there are a lot.
There's a lot. One of the most interesting things we got to do was go to Grant's house, which is kind of, we'd heard people talk about it when we interviewed them, and it was built up as kind of like a castle and a strange, magical place where, like, surrounded by submarines, and you take a ferry there. And it turned out to be, yes.
Oh, my God.
Submarines?
There's submarines, because he lives across...
Yellow submarines?
I don't know. He lives across the river from the largest nuclear base in Scotland, which apparently has 50 times the amount of weapons needed to destroy the Earth.
I didn't know Scotland had nukes.
I don't think they want you to know. He was like, don't film it. Don't film it, whatever you do, because they'll get you.
Okay.
But, yes, you take a ferry there, and it's about an hour and a half from Glasgow, and it's a strange house because it has a lot of, like, occult elements.
That's Grant. Yeah, yeah.
That were there even before he came. Like, there's a giant, like, pie sign on the outside, and there's a stained glass window showing, like, the evolution of life on Earth.
Mm. It's almost like Alan Moore's notion of psychogeography.
In terms
of the place having an occult background before he even got there.
Definitely. I think that's why him and Kristen chose to move there. He was like, I came to this place and I just knew, like, this was the place that I wanted to move.
Okay.
So he's got a lot of weird stuff. He's got, like, a sort of a lighthouse type of thing at the top of the house where you climb up on a ladder and you can look out and have, like, a 360-degree view of the sea.
You had a story about some interesting occurrence in Grant Morrison's bathroom or something about his bathroom? Should we pass this off to Amber?
Respect Films has a certain aesthetic that sort of lends itself to the material that Grant Morrison does. And so we're trying to make this documentary, which is very largely interview-based. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a lot of talking heads. We're trying to come up with some interesting imagery. So it's not just talking heads. So you can look at something else besides Grant talking to you for a couple minutes.
Which is still cool, but exactly.
So one of the things that we decided to do was just kind of strobe some lights on him so we could have, like, cool, like, psychedelic visuals to cut away to. And we're like, all right, well, we need to put him in the darkest room in the house and, like, flash this strobe light on him. And the darkest room in the house was the bathroom. The first time that, maybe it wasn't the first shoot we did with him, but, you know, it was our first time interviewing him in L.A., and he went into the bathroom with us, and we, like, shone a strobe light on him.
He seems like he's kind of up for anything.
Yeah, he really was up for anything, which great. Yeah.
Cool.
Does he seem like the type of person who's, like, mellowed over the years, or he's getting crazier?
I would say he's mellowed. I think one of the big things that we cover in the documentary is sort of the disconnect between sort of, there's kind of a reputation he has of, like, a wild man. Like, if you see, like, the DisinfoCon DVD, sort of like the apotheosis of that, that was, like, him yelling at the audience.
The speech he gave, and, like,
he was tripping, and he was crazy. So a lot of what the film is about, and I think some of the stuff that was most interesting to him and, like, the reasons why he chose to make it was kind of being, like, there are other sides of me, and, like, there's a more sedate side, which is, you know, like, he's married and he's, you know, he works, like, all day.
One kind of interesting experience that we had was the night before one of our shoots, we had this, as a crew, we kind of had this big conversation about magic and, like, Grant's approach to magic and that kind of thing. And personally, I don't really buy into it. I've never had a reason to believe in magic. I've never experienced anything. And so I was sort of voicing, like, this skeptic viewpoint in our conversation. So then the next day, in the middle of the interview, Patrick calls me out to Grant Morrison. He's like, so Amber's a skeptic in magic. What would you say to her?
Right.
But it was actually a really interesting conversation. It probably won't be able to make it into the film because Grant was like looking at me and addressing his conversation to me, but sort of have this conversation with Grant Morrison, you know, who's this mystic magic guru about like, you know, oh, well, I don't believe in it, so tell me stuff, you know?
I would say in my experience, because I too was very transformed by the Invisibles years ago, and I you know, follow a lot of that spiritual stuff, mystically, whatever, sometimes it can take a form as innocuous as a synchronicity or a coincidence or something where you're like, wait, this is, you could explain this, but, you know. So you interviewed a lot of other prominent comic writers and artists for this to sort of, as they sort of show respect films. I just made that up. That wasn't scripted. It was so cheesy. No, but so you talked to a lot of people. I know you talked to people like Mark Waid and Phil Jimenez. You also spoke to another guy with kind of a hilarious, wonderful, notoriously mischievous reputation, Mr. Warren Ellis. So what was your experience like interviewing and working with Warren?
Warren Ellis was fun because before, a lot of the times you'll send an email to people and be like, oh, do you want us to bring anything to the interview? Or like, you know, do you need anything? And he was like, he was the only person who ever wrote back and was like, I want you to bring one bottle of Springbrook or Oban whiskey, one pack of purple silk cut cigarettes, and four cans of Red Bull.
Warren Ellis!
So I think he lived up to the reputation.
And he crushed those cans, literally and metaphorically. In any case, so you're premiering the film at the New York Comic Con this year, which is in October?
That's the plan. We're also going to be showing some stuff at San Diego Con.
Okay, which is in
July.
July, okay.
And we're also going to be at C2E2 in April, so in Chicago.
I've heard of C2E2, but what is it exactly?
It's a newer con. I think it's in its second year, or is this its first year?
It might be the first. It's from the people who do the New York Con.
And
so,
it stands for Comics Expo 2?
I don't know. Celebrate City 2 Expo 2.
Cool.
But, yeah.
You two also work on a web series, webisode, sort of like a drama adventure story called The Third Age. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, The Third Age is a web series, and we kind of put it in the context of a psychedelic sci-fi.
Oh.
And it tells the story of a war between the gods, as seen through the eyes of the mortals, like the average humans who interact with these gods. And right now, we're releasing on Blip. The entire first season has been out. And
is it bliptv.com? How would people find it?
It's just blip.tv.
But you should go to thethirdagebegins.com to check it out.
Okay, cool.
Now, should we pitch them our idea for the interview here?
Well, we had a concept. I, as a lifelong comic-obsessed fan myself and a huge Grant Morrison fan, someday, if this could work, we would love, maybe when Grant's in the States, I'm not sure if we're going to San Diego, but if I could do this, I would die happy. I would love to interview Grant Morrison someday, but we came up with a weird pitch for it. I'm an actor, and and I've done sort of an impression of Grant Morrison's Scottish. I love the Scottish
accent. Let's hear it.
Well, I remember in one interview he talked about the fetishization of the soldier that's happening now in America due to the post-9/11 world. And he talked about, you know, he's always obviously very big on superheroes, and he would say, everything's about soldiers. We don't need another soldier. We need Batman. You know, like we need someone who's more than a soldier or more noble than a soldier or less beholden to government than a soldier or whatever. But anyway, so producer Mike and I came up with this idea. I've considered, and I would do, if this works out, I would shave my head bald, wear a suit like he wears, and interview him. And for a portion of the interview, if I did the whole interview like this, it would get annoying, but I would like to interview him as him. And that would be very metatextual. In any case, so by the way, we didn't say the official title of the documentary. I believe it's Grant Morrison Talking with Gods.
That's correct.
Okay, awesome. So anything else you want to say before we round off the interview?
We could just say we've shot, you know, hours and hours and hours of stuff. So the movie itself will probably be like 90 minutes, but then there'll be, you know, 5 or 6 hours of like bonus content.
For the DVD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Patrick Meany, the director, and Amber Yoder, the producer.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being in the Action Room.
Okay, so we'll be back with the
All
nerd
right.
news.
We'll come back with the nerd news right after this. All right, action fans, we are back in the action room. And you know what, Geek Goddess? You know what I think I'm in the mood for?
Chocolate syrup.
Yes. Chocolate syrup dripping down my mouth.
Ooh.
All right.
Okay.
Is this a phone sex radio
She's
show?
She's a pervert.
No, I'm in the mood for...
Nerd News.
All right, in the nerd news, you know, it's very sad, action fans. In the past month
Yet
and a half...
Yet another death!
It's very sad. It seems like there's a lot of celebrity deaths in the last month and a half. From various... From Hollywood, from actors, from comic creators. I guess the generational shift is just happening. I don't know.
And before we talk about the death, I would like to talk about somebody who was just born, who is probably going to be the next editor of Marvel Comics.
Who was just...
I don't know. I'm just predicting.
Oh, okay.
Since we have so much death, I figure...
Somewhere in Alabama, the next Frank Miller has been born. You want to have a continuity of life.
Right, yeah, yeah.
The circle. Okay. Anyway, circle of life. Just wanted to finish that joke. All right, so Dick Giordano just passed away over the weekend.
Who's Dick Giordano, Tony?
Well, only super hardcore comic nerds know who Dick Giordano is, but... He was, I don't know if he was vice publisher, vice president or publisher, one of the main editors-in-chief of DC Comics. Also a brilliant...
What's
and
DC Comics, Tony?
An extremely talented illustrator as well. A lot of his illustrations were featured art on many mainstream DC, even like board games and stuff. Like, it would be his art on the cover of a lot of storybooks, board games, children's books, Justice League... Just an amazing guy, and he was also a real mentor and editor to a lot of up-and-coming talent. Jim Lee, Kurt Busiek, so many famous people owe their careers to the fact that this guy took them seriously when they were young, wet behind their ears kids, and he helped them get their first comic jobs. It's very sad that he passed away, and comics in general really owes a lot to this man.
We're going to need a little thing at the end of the year with, like, people remember, you know?
It's like the Oscars when they have In Memoriam.
Yeah. We're going to need an action memoriam.
Ooh,
with
yeah.
words, obviously.
With words.
Right. It'll be an audio.
Then explosions after
oh.
each
oh.
name.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Dick Giordano died at 77.
Oh. Oh. Write to us and tell Touching. Us whether or not you think that's in bad taste. Okay. But anyway, also in the nerd news, we have...
Oh, look, we just got a letter. It's in bad taste.
Bing. We got an instant message. The Action Room on AOL. No, we're not really on instant messaging at all.
No, it's actually with snail mail, which is even crazier.
It just arrived. Also, we have a brand new Iron Man, not truly a trailer, but a brand new Iron Man commercial that aired during the NCAAs. And I don't really watch basketball. Geek Goddess Jenny, are you a sports fan?
I am, but for baseball.
What are you into? What do you follow in sports?
Baseball and football, that's a sports fan.
Well, yeah, kind of, I am, sort of, but not, like, hardcore, like, my brother is, sort of, so I follow it okay. when I watch it with him.
Are you Mets or Yankees, as far
I'm
as baseball?
I'm a huge Mets fan, like, Mets. Die hard.
You're basically...
I could see Shea from my house, well, not Shea anymore, City Field, sorry. I'm so used to saying Shea.
You're basically everything your brother is, but light.
Yes, you know? Exactly, but lighter, right.
Geek light, sports light.
Right, I was huge with the whole Jets freaking, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Well, let's bring it back to none of us saw this Iron Man commercial because none of us watch basketball.
No. You know, it's a slow geek news week when there's just like 3 more seconds of the Iron Man footage and we're all excited.
We're all excited
about it.
Yes. Anything strike you, Geek Goddess Jenny, about the latest Iron Man commercial that we just saw?
It looked the same like the first one. It had a little extra, which if you blinked, you might have missed.
Yeah, basically. And Scarlett Johansson, you see a little bit more of her.
A little more Scarlett. And I do love the...
Playing with his weapons. Very.
Yes, and in fact, that scene, by the way, Black Widow shoots little things out of her wrists, and they call it the Widow's Sting. Mm. And I think that scene is... him giving her the tech, which will eventually become her widow's sting.
But of course, the way a geek goddess has to say it, she's playing with his weapons. I mean, it's just so sexual.
Is there an entendre for please exit the donut?
All right, so
final item in the nerd news.
Yes.
Geek Goddess Jenny saw a movie that I'm pleasantly surprised that she really liked, that a lot of us saw trailers for and didn't think it would be that great.
Including, you didn't think it was going to be that great.
Well, let's... What was the movie, first of all?
It was How to Train Your Dragon. And
How to Train Your Dragon.
When it came out, it was fabulous in so many aspects. I don't even know how to even to say it. But all the voices were fabulous. The 3D looked great. The story was just so sweet, heartwarming. It's great for children. It's good for adults. I mean, it's just...
The story was better than you thought it would be.
Oh, my God. Like, 20 times over.
Now I say that Geek Goddess is one of these people who is being suckered in falling for the whole 3D thing. She's going to see everything in 3D.
Absolutely.
But
I actually enjoy it. Some people find it like it hurts their eyes, but for me it's like...
But I did actually hear that this is amazing 3D, and this made me want to see it. Wow. And I didn't want to see this movie.
I'm telling you, you should see it.
Who are some of the actors that are in it? I'm trying to remember. I saw a trailer, too, for it a while ago.
Well, I love Craig Ferguson. I watch him
every
night.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's in it. He's like kind of like the dragon trainer, also like the Iron Smith. In the movie, which is a great boy, hilarious. Also, Jay Baruchel.
Yeah, he was.
Cute. I have a crush on him.
He is in. He's one of the Apatow people. He was in Apatow's show Undeclared, the follow up to Freaks and Geeks. He's in. She's Out of My League.
Gotcha.
He's the lead geeky guy.
Right. He has like that really kind of weird voice. That's why it fits perfectly for a cartoon.
I gotta hear it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll definitely check it out. You
know. Okay.
I hate you, Geek Goddess. You're going to make me see every 3D movie because you're going to rave about every 3D.
I like cartoons, though. I'm a huge, like...
No, you know what? I have to say that. I think for 3D, the cartoons look the best.
Yes, you're right. They do.
Also, I just had my first pop culture essay that I wrote about superhero movie sequels and the perils of the potential perils of superhero movie sequels. It was just published, if you can use the word published for a website.
Or posted, I guess.
It was posted. I am now an official pseudo-published essayist about pop culture.
You are a professional poster.
Yes. I sit on your wall, and I'm a professional poster. That was very silly. So the website is www.appetiteforddeconstruction.com, run by a great friend of the show and an old friend of mine, Mr. Mike Surgot. So check it out. I've got an essay on there. His blog, by the way, has many great articles about Lost, movie reviews, a lot of great quality content on there.
And I've been pushing Tony to write for something other than emails to me for a long time, and he's doing it. So congratulations, Tony.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, and we hope you enjoyed our Grant Morrison documentary interview. Comment to us on Facebook and Twitter. And
Only Twitter to us if you're a celebrity, though.
Okay, exactly. Well, thanks so much. I'm Tony Wolf.
Geek Goddess.
Producer Mike.
Signing off.